That's a reason of people of balanced stature for Jesus in all phases of life. Join God's servant, Pastor Jeremiah James, as he brings the word with clarity, grace, and truth.
All right. Last week, we started a new teaching, the line of spiritual growth. Glory to God. And then if you are in the service last week, we laid a foundation for the teaching series. But I think we'll still continue the foundation a bit more. Glory to God. So I'm just going to do a little recap, and then we'll ride on the strength of that recap. 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 12. 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 12. 1 Timothy 4 verse 12. Alright. Can we read this together? 2, 3, go. Are we feeling? Alright. So let's read like we are alive. 2, 3, go. Okay. Oh, wait. I'm in this. That's an example where. And in word, and in purity. So, from this scripture, actually, Paul was suggesting that spiritual growth have nothing to do with biological age. From what we are seeing here, it has nothing to do with biological age. What it implies is that the boy can be the father of the man. Spiritually, the boy can be the father of the man. Why? Because here he is saying that don't allow anybody to look down on you because you are young. You are just biologically young. You are not spiritually young. So he says, set an example for believers. Set an example for believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. So from here, Paul is pointing to us some of the indicators of spiritual growth. By the things you are saying, we can know if you are a baby. Yes, by the things you are saying, we can know if you're a spiritual baby. Imagine with me for a while that as I'm talking now, I am talking like my baby. That is, some of my words are not even, they are not joinable. Or I'm talking like a 1-year-old child. From your vocabulary, from your spiritual vocabulary, we can tell where you are in the spirit realm. In fact, we can tell if you have grown or not. We can tell if you understand faith or not. So he's saying that don't let anybody look down on you because you are biologically young. There is nothing on the screen here. Because you are biologically young, he said, but set an example for believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and even in purity. The media team, there is nothing on the screen for us here. Glory to God. I don't think it's funny. Praise God. All right. While we are waiting for them, because I actually needed us to read a number of scriptures for me to be able to continue on what I'm doing. But while we are still trusting God that they catch up with us, please, if you are with your phone, just bear with us. We're very responsible. but for some reason I have technical. All right, so please get your phone and let's write. All right, last week, so get your phone, get your hard copy of Bible, and let's write so that we can be as fast as possible. But when we are at that, those writing exams, hope you are done. You're not done. How many of you have an exam tomorrow? Okay, two persons. Okay, three. Success in your exam, just God will grant you speed and accuracy. In Jesus' name. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Let's pick our Bible up and open to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians 3. We read it last week from verse 1. The Bible says, brothers, I'm reading from NIV actually. I will let across it to NKJV. He said, brothers, I could not address you as spiritual, but as merely as worldly, merely infant in Christ. I gave you meat, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. Can we read together if you are with me? Verse 3. Hey, it's just a few of us. All of us, let's pick our Bible now. Yes, you are still worldly, for since there is what? Among you, yes. Are you not worldly? Are you not acting like men? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not men? Now look at this. If you read it in NKJV, that word worldly that was used there was actually kana. You are kana. And then if I recommended a book last week that I call, I don't know why people are still looking at me. Like I said, carry your phone. Like everybody's still looking at it. Like because you are looking at it now, it will not appear. Can't you just learn how not to be distracted? Please focus on me. Just leave the screen alone. Provided you, if you are looking at it, it will not bring anything on the screen. So learn how to distract your distraction. Preach to your neighbors, learn how to distract your distraction. Because as I'm talking, every person's face, as I'm looking at your face, everybody just looking at the screen. As if by looking at it now, scripture will start appearing. Glory to God. Tell your neighbors, say, pick your phone. Or pick your hard copy Bible. Because all of you are guilty, you are talking. I said, tell your neighbor, pick your phone. Or pick your hard copy Bible and follow service. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. So I recommended a book to us last week that I call Growing Up Spiritually by who? Kenneth E. Hagin. And I say it's a very wonderful book. You can go and read. When he was talking about spiritual growth, he made reference to three kinds of man. He said the first is the spiritual man, the second is the carnal man, and then the third is the natural man. Now, the mere man that we have, mere men that we have been reading here, is actually making reference to the natural man. The natural man here in context is actually making reference to the person that is not saved. The spiritual man is somebody that has given his life to Christ and is growing at that pace. While the carnal man is the man that has given his life to Christ, but he may be. Yeah, he may be. Why? Because if you check this verse 1 of 1 Corinthians 3, he said, brethren, I could not speak to you, I'm reading NKJV, as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. So what it's implying is that, okay, the carnal people now are babes in Christ. And then in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, the Bible says what? As newborn babes, desire what? The sincere milk of the word, that you what? That you will grow hereby. Praise God. Can somebody come out from the media room? Because wherever it is that they are doing, I don't think you take them to dump. What exactly is happening to the projection? Change the system now. Standard system. Because this might be followers are not following. They are looking at it. Glory to God. So, The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, you see, as newborn babe, desire the sincere milk of the word, that what? That you will grow thereby. And then, aligning with this 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2, the Bible is now saying, I gave you what? Milk, not solid food. For ye were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are not ready. So, there is every possibility that they gave birth to you as a babe, as a spiritual babe, and you still remain a babe. At that level, you're a carnal man. So, you have a blend of spirituality. It's as good as that is to say, you know, like you want to marry someone like Sinai with the touch of who? Nicki Minaj, which other one? Beyonce, all those guys. So, you are a spiritual man, quite all right. When they gave, because when you gave your life to Christ, there is no way you could have given your life to Christ without the help of you. But your refusing to grow make you a carnal man. In fact, it makes you a worldly man. Why? Because you see that, you say, are you not still worthy? For there is jealousy and quarreling among you. And I said it, I say one of the feedback that you are still not growing spiritually is that you will see some things in your life that will be a feedback. Number one is jealousy. Number two is quarreling. It is a feedback that you just change address, but you are not moving. Yeah. You just change address, but you are not moving. Why? Because before you gave your life to Christ, there was a way of life. After you gave your life to Christ, there should be a change in your way of life. Now, this thing does not happen overnight. It does not happen overnight. You have changed address, yes, but it does not happen overnight. Preach to your neighbor, say it doesn't happen overnight. It takes intentionality. If you have ever breastfeed a child before, you will understand with me what I'm saying. Because take for instance, for a child actually that you are giving milk, children cannot feed themselves. Yeah. It's not like that you can cook into milk. Breast milk is not, is dependent on another person. So, if it's food now, take for instance, you just go to the market, you buy this, you buy that, you buy this. But when you have to do with milk, it's dependent on another person. Another person we have to be introduced. And that's why you see Paul is saying, I gave you milk. He did not say you took milk. He said, me, I'm the one that I gave you. I gave you milk. Why? Because you are still a babe. You are still a child. Hope you know, if you leave children to themselves, at a tender age, they will start taking place. Yeah. So at that level, when you are taking your full step of spiritual growth, it's supposed to be guided. People are supposed to be watching what you are taking. The things you are taking in, the things you are eating that are actually not good for your health, that are not good for your growth. So Paul said, I gave you. Me, I was the one that gave you. I gave you me. Glory to God. And then see last week, we made pointers to three major cardinal indicators of spiritual growth, right? We got that from 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14, right? We consider amplified translation of it. So 2 Corinthians 13, 14. If you read amplified translation, but naturally we started with the one that all of us are used to. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, yes, the love of and the fellowship of the be with you. You know, we used to put now forevermore. And I said that thing that is actually being said is the three indicators for spiritual growth. That the love of our Lord, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, that thing is a pointer. It's a pointer for how you are supposed to grow in the Spirit. So we look at it and said that the end result of the love of God and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is actually presence and fellowship. Yes, the whole essence. All the essence of the love of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, is to that end, is that last one, presence and fellowship. Because one man lost in the garden was not even grace. What man lost in the garden was not love, because while we are still sinners, Christ still died for us. God expresses his love in that. What man lost was fellowship, ability to be able to communicate. So all that you are doing for spiritual growth to happen to your life is to an end that you will be able to enjoy presence and fellowship. But it's so painful that there are so many things that are competing with the presence and the fellowship of the Spirit. So some of those things are the things we will need to look at. Because let me help you guys. Sin is one of the things that will hinder you from enjoying presence and fellowship. Last week, I mentioned that the first thing that is actually supposed to be mentioned here is the love of God. Because it is the love of God that compels the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Are we still on the same page? Are we feeling cold? I'm not sure. Are we feeling cold? You are feeling cold. It's obvious. The way people are saying amen against it. Please, help us reduce the... I think you should off that one. That one is not for them. Off that one and we are the people feeling cold. Which area is cold from? So we know which one to off. Okay, that guy. Yes, that guy. What about this area? Are we feeling cold in this area? Don't worry, you will not feel cold again. They have off that one. The way they off this one. Off this guy. But this is not getting close to that. Wait first. Let's test this. If you are feeling cold, you can just do. They will help you. Glory to God. Alright, please now follow me. I will stay on the same page. I need you to just pray in the Holy Ghost. Just a few seconds. Then when you come back, your life will be void of every form of distraction. Just pray very quickly. Pray. Can take it a bit higher. A bit higher. Pray. For in Jesus' mighty name, I will pray. Don't worry, later on I will just run out to avoid that. But I'm praying for you though. But when your word comes, may you not be attacked. Alright, carry me back to 1 Timothy. Please let me celebrate that. 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 12. 1 Timothy 4 verse 12. Very 1 Timothy 4, 12. Alright, please can read together again. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are faith. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are what? So, by understanding this, talking about biological age, right? If you say, don't let anybody look down on you because you are young, he's talking about biological age, right? He said, but set an example for who? Believers, and hope you know, in this believer, there is also class. That means that there can be young believers, right? There can be young believers, right? There can be old believers, right? No, I'm not talking about biologically now. I'm talking about in growth. Alright. That means there can be babes that are believers, and there can be adults that are believers. I want the same page. Because actually in class, we have babes, then we have children. Actually, you can grow. Babes, children. Because if you take first John, I think we should read that first John. First John chapter 2 from verse 12. First John chapter 2 from verse 12. Very good. Please, can we read this together? I write to you, dear who, because your sins have been on account of his. Next verse. He said, I write to you who, because you have known him who is from the. I write to you who, because you have overcome the. I write to you, dear children. He's not repeating the same thing. So that means that we can have spiritual babes. We can have spiritual babies. That is, when you give your life to God, you become a baby. Then from spiritual baby, you move to being a child. That is a spiritual child. Then you move from this being a spiritual child to being a spiritual adult. That is, you can move into that next. This implies that. So what Paul was talking to Timothy about in 1 Timothy chapter 4 was not, he was not writing the same, I write to you young men, to Timothy. What he's writing to Timothy is, he's writing to Timothy as a father. Like, because you are young, but you are still a father, I am writing to you that in terms of spirituality, you should be, because it's parenting, it's spiritual parenting that sets example. Are we on the same page? So it's not young children that sets example. It's not a babe that sets example. But the end of all of our spiritual growth is that we model Christ and set example for others to follow. Are we on the same page? So one of the end results, one of the feedback that you are growing is that they can easily trace people to you. That's who I'm meeting. Is being a discipler. That you're growing. If your life have not modeled anything. Let me help you, for example. Before I received the call to be a pastor, they were calling me pastor. And you will agree with me that in this side of the world, especially in Nigeria, if you follow Christ and you are really growing, your neighbors don't need to confirm your calling. They don't need to attend your ordination. They will just say, go and meet pastor. What it implies is that you, like Timothy, you have grown to a level where you can be an example to believers. I remember where we were staying. We were so young, where before we moved to our own house. But what happened? It appeared like we are so young. It appeared like we are the youngest there. But when they have problems, that is when I knew that we were setting example for believers. They talk all manner of things about cockroach, about all manner of things. But when any time there is issue, they don't go any place. They come to our house and knock. I remember one of those days where I just come back from a morning service. I didn't know if it was morning service or I can't even remember which day or Sunday. One of our neighbors just came and knocked. Pastor, pastor. I don't know. You are not the one that would name me. Pastor, pastor. Come. Yes, so we went out. He said, hey, they have kidnapped our husband. Ah, we should need them. Ah, fire has touched her. You know, all manner of things. And we were so calm. So me and my wife, that's when we knew our authority in that place. Me and my wife, we joined hands together. We first prayed 1 hour. We were not praying the 1 hour for us to have faith to declare. We are praying the 1 hour for us to go where we are. So the prayer we pray was not out of, because we have finished prayer, we are too confident that the man will come back. I cannot be enough. So after that 1 hour prayer that we pray, we now told her confidently that, don't worry, you'll be released. He'll call you now. Stuff like that. He was still looking and saying, amen. Then, except that we went, because we can't stay there forever and we pray. Except that we now went back inside the house, and then I don't know, maybe after how many hours, I can't remember. Just, he came and said, hey, praise God. That day, our pastorship increased in that area. Because even the people that were not around, she called them. I said, the pastors, they have prayed for us. They have brought the whatever. Something. So if there is any issue in the house now, it's pastors they talk about. But let me also help you. Where I say you can set example in speech, life. In life, yeah, he's talking about lifestyle. The people that are YouTubers, they will understand this lifestyle I'm talking about. You see that thing, you used to do camera like this, and whatever, I say, come to my house, come to my room, this is my room. That, you have found it. You are supposed to be a model by your life. There are people who are looking at your life, not on YouTube. But by looking at your life, they can learn. It's not a YouTube lifestyle. Be an example for believer in life. This is what that one implies. So, I remember, that was when they brought prepared to the house. They brought prepared. So when they brought prepared, every person, I don't even know that this to boycott or something like that. What they call that? Boycott, Abi? I'm correct. So they boycott, all of them boycott. Except us. Then one day, NEPA catch them. When they catch them, they came and check all the meter. When they want to get you, may they not get you on the wrong side. So if we set example in prayer, the day they not catch every person, they just imagine, they not came. Then the neighbors were shouting in the middle of it. They said, all of you are boycotted. 50,000, I can't remember, or something like that. Except for this man. Except for this man. They said, which man? They said, this one, which house is that? They said, pastor's house. They said, pastor? Ah, it's a pastor. Except for this pastor's house. That day again, another man of pastorship was brought. He's not the one that were a pastor by prayer and putting speech. But in lifestyle, you are not a pastor. That day I was so happy that I was a pastor. Those guys came. And hope you know that I was not doing that because I was a pastor. I was doing that because I'm a Christian. He is not a pastor something. Because now, once you are growing and you are setting example for believers, they call you pastor. They are a pastor. If they have not been calling you like that in the workplace and whatever, explain Gen Z. Gen Z, the only way they can know that you are born again and are serious is that they call you pastor. I'm not saying I have it though. Is that when every other person is going this direction, you are going the opposite direction for God. Is a feedback you are growing. You are the only one that you know you are safe in your environment. You are a liar. Let me help you. I'll say it again. I'm not afraid of you. You are the only one that know that you are safe in your environment. You say salvation is of the heart. And men cannot. In fact, the day they saw you on poster, they thought it. They came from church looking for Hannah. And when they got to your Adugo, they said there is one like. And truly, if you came out, as you are coming out, or I won't say they were coming out, as you are coming out, they were shouting, Ojugo, 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 Hanani, Hanani, Ojugo. Then we now say, that is Sister Hannah, it says Sister Hannah, Ojugo, Lele. And truth to it, you now say, you're using Christianity for us. Bless you, Pastor. The best way people can know that you are born again is coming from your neighbors. And the ultimate one, Babam Bari, of all of them, your family. You know this kind of, your parents are shocked by the way they are addressing you in church. Understanding if it's not working at home, please don't export. The only people that allow you to pray for them are people that don't. At home, if you want to pray for them, go, just go. I will take Panadol. Just go. You are not setting example for believers. You may be young, but my example. So, the parenting part of spiritual growth is that you are able to set an example. As we saw in that first Corinthians. I write to you, young children. Dear children, I write to you, young men. I write to you, fathers. Fathers, there, it means that parenting, the ultimate, let me help you, the ultimate result of your spiritual growth should be pointing towards the Great Commission. Because in Matthew, the whole essence of what Jesus did, that you should grow, is not for you to benefit yourself. Is that your life is reflecting Christ. People are seeing you, they want to be trained by you. In Matthew 28 verse 19, very quickly, Matthew 28:19. Please, can we read it together? Therefore, go and do what? This is the great commission. It's not just to the disciples, then it's all of us. That by your life, somebody can give his life to Christ. But there are indicators, there are things that point to the fact that truly you are making a disciple of one nation. Because in your lifetime, you are going to influence more people by observation than by teaching. The people that just look, your life is to be a much testament by people looking at you than the ones you say something. So much so that even you are shocked when the church says you go out for out. Even you need to be out here. And that's why you hear when they start people go out for out, they avoid their neighborhood. They don't know how to go to that side because they are forced with this. And yet they come to church and lift up bullying. Who is deceiving who? The one that sits in heaven. You see, in this kingdom, if you want to be right, you cannot go. You want to be on your right. Be on my right. Somebody said something very funny that I heard. Reverend Sam was saying. He said that people say things like, Jesus said, if they slap you at the right side, turn the left. He said, and thereafter, after you have turned the left, he did not tell you what to do. So that means that you can even beat the person. That was somebody preaching. Can you see how powerful it is? That when Jesus said, if your neighbor can eat somebody stamp you, turn the left. He said after that, Jesus just stopped. He did not say any other thing. That means that the remaining part, you can pick. You can blow the person. You can beat the person. That is not the gospel. Are we still on the same page? Where are you supposed to be an example to believers? Where? In speech. Where again? In life. In life, they make reference to what? Lifestyle. In what? Love. I'm coming back to that. Don't worry. In faith and in purity. You see, one of the requirements, you see, if you want to be trained on how to train, one of the requirements that is needed that you are going to be a good person here, is to start with, let's put the Bible aside. You see, by the time they initiate you into that conversation, you are a good nonsense here. In fact, register for Guinness World of Record. Tell them to come out. They will be shocked at the nonsense coming out of your mouth. Once you are, as a Christian, you just say, let's even put the Bible aside. You see, your brain is also going aside. It is a good, whatever separation, what is the name of this in chemistry? Fractional distillation kind of thing. Let's put the Bible aside. Let's put God aside. My life is not aside. My life is also aside without God. The Bible is my stance. Outside of the Bible, it will be my opinion against yours. So he said, be example for believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith and in purity. Are we still on the same page? So I'm going to come back to this scripture because I need us to hold it tightly somewhere. Just hold it. Let's now go back to that, our grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Indicators, three major indicators of spiritual growth. Three major cardinal indicators of spiritual growth. Yes, please, can we read this together? The grace, yes. In the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. So be it. Now, and I said that the three major spiritual indicators for spiritual growth, which every other thing is going to fall under. Any other thing I'm going to mention is going to fall under, including that purity we mentioned, including that in lifestyle, all of it is going to still fall under these three major. And that's why I said three major cardinal indicators that you are growing. The first one now, grace. I mentioned grace last week, but I did not establish as much as I want to on that grace. Because the Bible says the grace, favor, and spiritual blessing of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God. Now wait. I said the love of God is the one that started that equation. And that is why the love of God finds itself into the middle. The love of God now is in the middle. Now, if you check John 3:16, what does the Bible say in John 3:16? For God so, assuming it is the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ that sponsor the love of God, then that means that Jesus will have to die first for God to love the world. It is the love of God that introduced Christ. Christ introduced grace. Grace introduced fellowship. Are we still on the same page? What man lost was fellowship. After the fall of man, love was still intact. Oh. But man could not fellowship with the love. Love, it was not because Jesus died that God loved the world. No. Before Christ died, God loved the world. So the love of God is the reason why Christ died to bring grace. Because in Romans chapter 5 verse 8, the Bible says, and while we were yet sinners, for God demonstrates his own love for us in this. Please read together with me. When we were what? Yes, sinner. Who died? Who is carrying grace? Christ. So it means that the first thing that started that growth for us is the love of God. The love of God brought Christ into the equation. Christ had grace. Grace brought fellowship. Because it is by grace, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8, please can we read this together? For it is by grace you have been, are we saying the same thing here? For it is by grace you have been true, and this not ourselves, it is the, and how does the gift of God come from John 3:16? For God so loved that he, who did he give? So his only begotten son was the gift. So the Bible that for we have been saved through grace. So what brought us to being saved was grace. Somebody say grace. Who is this? I'm in Ephesians chapter 2. Please preach with me. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8. He said, for it is by grace you have been. How did you get saved? By grace, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourself, it's the gift of God. Now, the Bible now told us in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, he said, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow. So, what it implies is that grace you had at salvation is just for you to be established, it has not sponsored your growth yet. Oh, he said, like newborn babes, crave. I love this. I will still come back to crave. Crave pure spiritual milk so that by you may grow up in your salvation. And hope you know there is a place in the Bible. I think Philippians chapter 2, verse 11, if I'm not incorrect. Show me Philippians 2, 11. I hope I'm not incorrect. Or 2, 12, right? Okay, yes, work out your salvation. Yes, this is it. 2:12. He said, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but not much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Now, give me James chapter 1, verse 21 in KJV. James 1, 21. Just write the scriptures down. It's part of your sermon notes. Because you see, when it comes to spiritual growth, you cannot be able to jump in. Please, can we read this together? Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness. What should you receive? The engrafted word, which is able to do what? Save your soul. Please, I want to ask you a question. This Bible that James was writing, was it writing to believers or unbelievers? can he now be talking to believers that save their souls? So, that thing you collected as salvation is paid down. Oh, it's first installment, and it's the Bible. It's in the Bible. Give us Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6. I think amplify. Ephesians 1, 6. You will stay now. Ephesians 1, verse 6. That is, God paid down. I say, hey, where? The deposit. He says, so that we might be to the praise and all of that, which is next verse, very quickly. Next verse, very quickly. In whom we have deliverance through and our offense and next verse. Which is lavish on all next verse. Making known the mystery. Just let me look for that place that is first deposit. Next verse. I think that should be. He's not. He's talking about first, like deposit of. Eh? Who is this one? You are still here now. This is not. This was the. Then, who are very European boy? Who are? This is not one. Well, it's not part of my notes, but look at this. What the Holy Spirit does for you is that He serves as first deposit, like pay down. One can pay it down. Are we on the same page? Are we on the same page? So when you gave your life to Christ, is a means to an end. It's not the conclusion that is all. You not die. No, because when you check 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ. Okay, thank you. You have seen it. He said, we is a deposit. Aha. Guaranteeing our inheritance. Until the redemption. Give it to me in Amplify actually. Thank you. Ephesians 1:14. Aha. He said that spirit is the guarantee of our inheritance. The first fruit. The pledge and first thing. The down payment. If you have ever bought anything in installment. It's like when you give your life to Christ, it's a down payment. There are still other things you will do. The down payment is as good as saying, the down payment. And me, I know they pay. No. It's a down payment. Somebody say it's a down payment. To on our heritage in anticipation of its full redemption and acquiring complete possession of it to the praise of His glory. So, when you gave your life to Christ, what you did was that you were saved by grace. And last week, we actually make reference to the saving grace, right? We say there is a saving grace, salvational grace, right? There is a saving grace. That Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8. He said, for it is by grace you have been saved. Please, what saved you? What you are trying to grow in, how did you get saved there? By grace. So spiritual growth actually started with the love of God that gave us the gift of Christ, which is the grace of Christ. Are we on the same page? Are we still on the same page? So it is by grace you have been saved. You have been saved. But that is the first thing that happens to you. Now, I want to show you something so that you understand that you can use the physical to understand the spiritual. John chapter 3. Yes. Because of that, let's start with verse 2 actually. John 3. Verse 2. Please, can we read this together? He came to Jesus at night and said, if you are a part of the building church, you will understand the scripture. We'll read it, Lord. Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who come from all. No one can do these things you are doing except God to be with him. Next verse, very quickly. Jesus replied. What was Jesus' reply? Please, very quickly. I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is. Wait. What we are preaching today is not for unbelievers. You cannot grow spiritually if you are not even spiritual. Wait, let me say it again. This teaching I'm doing now is based on assumption that you are saved. If you are not saved, you cannot be doing the things I said people should do that are saved to grow. That then you now expect to grow. What you are doing, highest of what you are doing is that you are moral. Your brother is Paulinus. The Bible says, In fact, do you know what it implies? If you are moral, you are doing things, expecting to grow, the highest reward you can have from heaven is that you are a devoted man. That's what happened to Cornelius. He was doing the things that were meant for the people that are saved. And because of that, it was so urgent that they gave him the address of where he will be saved, so that his reward can match his account. So, this thing I'm saying starts from you giving your life to Christ if you are not born again. And let me help you. Most times, there used to be disparity in how people get born again. If you have confessed your sin, what you just did was that you repented. You are not born again. No. That you went out and confessed your sin. My brother, you just repented. Confession of sin is called repentance. Confession of Jesus is called salvation. That you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, that is salvation. If you go out and you have confessed your sin severally, but you have not confessed Jesus, you are not born again. I'm not the one that said that. Is that what the Bible said? Because in Romans chapter 10, the Bible tells us that if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, then you shall be saved. Confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved. That is salvation. While repentance, on the other hand, the Bible says that he who confess his sin shall be shown mercy. That is confession of sin in Proverbs. So you don't have to confess your sin to be for repentance. But when it comes to salvation, you will have to confess the Lord. So when the Bible was showing us what happened to Nicodemus, Nicodemus came to Jesus at night and said, "Master, we know that no one can do these things you are doing except God be with you." Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God except he's born again." That's very funny. Then Nicodemus was shocked. How can a man be born when he's old? Nicodemus asked, "Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born again." Next verse, Jesus now tells, he said, "I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and spirit." Now, there are two things that Jesus was saying. This is actually talking about a progress. A progress. The first thing Jesus said, if you take note very well, is see. Then the next thing he talked about is enter. How many of you have been to Aso Rock? Nobody. How many of you have seen Aso Rock? See all of us are here. That means that there are possibilities for a man that is born again, that he is seeing something he's not able to enter into. Several of you will have seen my house. You see my house. You say, "See his house. We know his house. This is Apostle Kinnika's house. This is Apostle Selman's house. This is Apostle Kinnika's house." Enter. There is a possibility. Don't let us go too far. How many of you have seen this CBN here? CBN in post office. You see, CBN is looking as if it's the police headquarters itself. With the kind of gun, mobile police, Kinnikan police, all manner of things. You are seeing CBN and you cannot just maneuver your ways. Enter. Right. Hope you know that there are some instructions that he should aside. If you don't know, that is, you go and enter a place that he should aside. It will take mercy, the prayer of God, the prayer of your parents, the love of God for your parents, for you to still be alive. You go and enter a shoot aside. Shoot aside means that this guy is an intruder, whether he knows or not, shoot. The kingdom of God is so designed that as when you give your life to Christ, when you are born again, in John chapter 3, verse 3, if you are born again, you can see. But it takes a level of growth for you to enter the things you have been seeing. So Jesus was telling us that a man cannot be born again. A man cannot see the kingdom of God, is not born. So the first thing that happened to you is that you will be born. Oh, kingdom prosperity. It exists. You can be hearing it, but can you enter into it? It takes growth.
Can you enter into it? So there are plenty of things that you can see when you are born again. Go back to that verse 3. Jesus replied, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. Then he goes to verse 5 and changes whatever again. He now said, no one can enter. You are here separately. You have seen the government house. Go ahead now. They will ask the question so that, do you know the government house? The government house. You even describe it very well. But you have not been able to enter. There are some things that you desire. Let me help you. Hope you know it takes, one of the things that sight does is that it heightens recognition. What it implies that when you are born again, there are some things that you will be able to see. But it will take a level of growth for you. And that is why some people used to say God gave them. Because they are seeing a possibility they are not able to enter. They are seeing a possibility they are not able to eat from. That is not your Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And do you know the irony? When you check that Romans chapter 1 verse 16, what the Bible was saying in Romans 1, he said, I am not ashamed of the gospel. That word gospel is actually good news. He said, I am not ashamed of the good news, for it is the power of God unto soteria. He did not say it's the power of God unto sozo. He said it is the power of God unto soteria. It's as good as, look at this. How many of you know that there is soteria, there is soterion? Yes, in the Bible. Is, in fact, similar to soteria and soterion is criteria and criterion. When you are talking about something that is much, you say, these are the criteria that are needed for you to become the executive director of Kinika Kinika. Are we on the same page? But if it's just one, you use the word criteria, criterion. You say the criterion for you to, can use criteria again. So that word that was used there, salvation, is actually not talking about salvation alone. It was talking about soteria in its entirety. It's talking about soteria in its entirety. That is salvation, deliverance, preservation, and safety. All of them are here. So what he's saying now is that I am not ashamed of the good news. I don't know which translation gave good news, but I prefer that to actually using the word gospel, because the gospel now people are bastardizing. Give me, I think KJV or the translation I use. I am not ashamed of the good news. All right, amplify it. Okay. He said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, in bracket what? For it is God's working to salvation for deliverance from eternal death to everyone who believes with personal trust. I don't need all of this amplify stuff. Just give me the one that I gave good news. I think it will help. Thank you. He said, I am proud of the good news. It is God's powerful way of saving all who have faith. Now wait. How many of you know what the news is? News. What is the news? News is actually a collection of information. That is all. That is when you have information arranged together. That's when you have it. So you now say, hey, breaking news, any kind of news, wherever. So the Bible is not saying that it's not just news. Hope you know there are bad news. It's not saying good news is the power of God. If you take Romans very well, Romans 8:10. The Bible was saying, who can tell them? He said, until somebody is sent, there is no way they will hear. He said, how beautiful are the feet of those that bring the good news. Now look at this. When you got saved by somebody telling you about Christ. And then you believe it in your heart. And then you confess with your mouth. Abi? All form of salvation, every other salvation, preservation, deliverance, and safety, also take the same dimension. You hear, you believe in your heart, and begin to say it. Take for instance, if I say I can never be poor, I don't need to. It did not come on me when I was saved. It was another news I picked, and I believe it in my heart, and I begin to confess with my mouth. And it is what I'm confessing with my mouth that will save me. It is the salvation. So take for instance, I can never be poor. It was not Jesus that gave me that. It is the news I had. And that is why it is very possible in this same kingdom that some people are seeing the kingdom, but they are not able to enter.
Because what it takes to enter, it has to be with water. Water means immersion and spirit. So that means that I am immersed in the reality of that word. And then I enter into the word. I became one with the word. Homologio, that is confession. Homoio means the same word. I became one with the word that nothing can allow me to think otherwise. I just believe it. Hope you know that my being saved now, if you tell me I'm not saved, whether I'm feeling like I'm saved or not, it has nothing to do with that. It's my confession. And that's why in Hebrews, the Bible says we should hold fast to our profession. What it implies is that you can, the only way your salvation can be gained, I think that should be Hebrews 10, 38, if I'm incorrect. The only way your salvation can be gained is that you are not holding your profession. That profession, you are not holding on to. So also with every other thing in your life, there is the profession that if you are not one with, there will be issues. And that is why Jesus said, no one can enter except by the Spirit. I said the person is born of water and the Spirit. But you can see it by being born again. I say you can see it by being born again. This person has not eaten. No, I'm too sure. I'm very sure. So I tell you the truth, no one can oh God unless he's born again. Now, go further. Except he's born of the water and spirit. He's not saying he's born again. Now, these words now said that gave me concern. He said, flesh give back to what? But the spirit give back to. Now, wait. For him to say, flesh give back to flesh, what Jesus was saying here is that if people grow, have you ever seen a child that remain a baby? Then you are celebrating a 20-year-old baby. You don't get what I'm saying. Hope you know that it will become a world record. If as they gave birth to a child, including the umbilical cord that was cut, everything he having the blood kind of everything intact, and the guy is celebrating 20 years. And he's not dead. That is how some of you are doing. When you gave your life to Christ 20 years ago, but you are still a baby. And I've often said it, Bishop Wesley, things grow with time. But time in itself, grow nothing. It takes intentionality. Hope you know that if you think that you will grow by being a Christian, just grow. You are growing, you will not grow anything. It takes intentionality to grow. It's not by saying, I am celebrating my 30th year of being a Christian. And everybody is shocked that you have been saved for 30 years. They are wondering, which kind of salvation save you? Spiritual growth is like flesh gives back to flesh, but the spirit gives back to spirit. Now look at what he said next. He said, you should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again. Verse 8, powerful. He said, the winds blow wherever it pleases. You hear it sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. He says, so is everyone that is born of Spirit. What it implies is that someone that is born of the Spirit cannot be creative. Take for instance, they cannot plan you. Pastor, come. This is what it means by planning. Say we will offend him. You will see. And then they wrote the script for you. They wrote the script that this guy is saying he's going to give you. He sent him to the hospital. And then they did not know that he came late. Because when you are reading your devotion in the morning, the devotion told you not to be angry at anyone. In fact, God specifically put your name. He said, Sammy, anger resides of a fool. And then that day you have been declaring, I cannot be a fool. That is the day they wanted to predict your life. And they came. And they give you whack at all. He said, Pastor, is that his son? That is how his son. They give you one cattle, you are laughing. They give you two cattle, you are laughing. They give you six cattle, you are laughing. They give you cattle, you are laughing. And then they just move from there to Ibadu, Iforun, Iforti, Iforju, Iwaju. You know, they gave you everything. And this is how you are smiling. Do you know at that spot, the Spirit of God can leverage on our advantage. And the people that are doing that can begin to be. Now, with all this, we are doing that.
and love. That was what I want to give you. Let me help you. If they have ever by mistake thrown stone at you, you won't laugh. Not on top of big stone. And this guy was smiling at him. Father, forgive him. You see, you will say, if I be called of God, Father, don't allow my blood waste. These guys, they must die. Especially the fact that you have seen the Son of Man standing at the right hand. Ah, you say, Jesus is that you say, yes, we are come. This will kill them. Don't worry. I am saying this that by the time you are done with this, you will know the real business of this. You will know the real business of spiritual growth. That people are stoning you with words. They are abusing your man. Then you go back to your secret place. The prayer you will have prayed for yourself, you are praying for them. That is where spiritual growth is now getting pressed. That is where we are starting. I have prayed for people before crying. You see, the highest level of cry is when mucus is coming down. Because your tears, your lacrimal gland is gone. Then they consult the nose. Now, okay, we still need tears. Please bring the one that is thicker, that the viscosity is high. We need that to express the Gethsemane experience. That when you will know that you have truly grown, that you are growing spiritually, that your will is no longer yours. My life is yours, it's yours, it's yours forever. My life is yours. So, Jesus is saying here that a man that is born of the Spirit, you can't predict it. Now, he now say the wind that the wind blows where it wants. And the man that is born of the Spirit is also being directed by the same. So, when you gave your life to Christ, brethren, please, how did you get saved? And the grace was coming from who? And who gave Jesus Christ? Eh? How did God do that? Eh? By love. So, the love of God. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, grace of the Lord Jesus Christ started the journey. But the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ did not finish the journey. I will show you. Give me 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. Are we getting blessed or blessed? 2 Peter 3, 18. Very quickly. 3:18. Just imagine that there is Hollandia you got in front of you. Please, can we read this together? Wait! Don't be in this. What should you grow in? I thought they say we are saved by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why are they not asking us to grow in? He said, but grow in the grace and knowledge of who? Wait, that's where people used to miss it. There are two words that are used there. Our Lord and Savior. The grace that saved you was from the Savior. The one you will grow in is from the Lord. Because he can be your Savior and he's not your Lord. Obaungogo is not just a, what is a Savior in Yoruba? Alagba. I want to say Alagba. Olugbala. He's not just Olugbala Gbami. Baba Gbami. Olugbala Gbami. If you, Baba Gbami. Olugbala Gbami. If you have checked him, have asked him. No. He's, you have found me. Sugbon Emma Dagba ninu ore ofe ati ninu ehen ati ehen Oluwa, that is ohun ni Oluwa, that is na nge Olu wewa Oluwa, okay Oluwa ehen our Lord. You see, my wife is a Yoruba teacher. Olukwagba. Oluwa, that is, he's our Lord, he's our Olu. Olu. Olu, Olu, Olu. Praise God. Forgive these media people. It's weird. go back to our English. So, he's not just our Olubala. He's our Oluwa. He's not just your Savior. He's... And I've often said it, the name of the Holy Spirit that they introduced to us, very powerful. They call him the Counselor. And I used to tell people, I said, the reason why that name is that long is because if you miss one, you'll get the other. If you miss his counsel, you'll get comfort. Hey, yes. You know, the Bible was saying, and to our counselor, our advocate, our helper, our intercessor, our standby, our all of those our. So if he's counseling you and say, son, don't go there, don't go there, don't go there, don't have to let out, he will abuse you. Then no, I will go. Then when you go there, Juliet washed you down. She did as if she was your creator. It took you 5 minutes to get to Juliet's hostel. But you have still not gotten home till now. It's taking you almost forever to walk back because of insult. Then when you are praying, he will not cancel you. Again, he will not come as a comforter. He will not be comforting you. I told you. But don't worry. There are many Juliet out there. The one for you will come. But next time you will listen to me. I warned you. So it was not just called a counselor, it was called comforter. So if for any reason you miss the counseling part, you won't miss the comfort. I'm telling you, you will not miss it. You will not miss it. And then if for any reason the comfort is not working, it will strengthen you. He will be your strength now. And then if for any reason you say, I don't want to be around, he will stand by. He will stand by, and by the time he's standing by, you have not eaten for 3 days, he will help you. I'm telling you, he will come and say, and then if for any reason the help is not still working, he will call people like Pastor Me to start interceding for you. And then if that one did not work, then they need your pastor. So he will partner with your pastor to be an advocate. Your pastor has just been trained in lawyer courts. In courts, nobody can come and give you your badge. Please sit there. Are we on the same page? But my own for you is that you will grow in grace. That it is not the grace does for Savior you will work with. You will work with the grace for Lord. That he can be Lord or back. He can be Oluwa over you. That is one of the feedback that you are growing spiritually. Let me tie it. The things I wanted to establish, I did not get my presentation on time, but no problem. But I'm still getting it. All right, let me begin to round up my teaching. Give me, very good. Holy Spirit. Yes, let me go. Give me John chapter 1. From verse 11, so that you can know this Oluwa. Please, how did the Bible say you should grow? You should grow in what? You should grow in what? Of our Lord. And so when it comes to saving grace, who did that for you, Jesus? But there's also the grace that comes to come and do another work in your life. Give me 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. And I want to show us one grace there, actually. I want to show us a grace there. When it comes to our Lord. Please, can we read this together? Do you understand this? Read it again one more time. Yes. Wait. Have you ever seen here something that the Holy Spirit says you should not do? People are thinking it's a weakness. See, her weakness is that no matter how people abuse her, she does not respond. They did not know you. They don't know you. Take, for instance, my wife. They say, my wife is in love with me. I say, Jacuzzi Jimkuzzi. In fact, I was the one that went to Juliet. But all of you go out. Contest. I waited to go and preach and bring patience. Be a good disciple of Jesus. I met her. Under orange tree, I can't forget. I can't even, she allowed me to forget the powerful Samaritan. As I was preaching and preaching, then she looked and said, "You're wasting my time. You are disturbing." And then as a reward, God said, "My son, you collected that for me." I said, "Yes, Baba." He said, "Don't worry. She's working at one end of the discussion. I will make a discussion begin." At that time, she was not in any way somebody I wanted to marry. But because the Bible says, "How beautiful are the feet of those that preach the good news." So God said, you collect that insult for me. I say, "Baba, that's God I saw." And I will give her to you as one of your beautiful feet. I did not say God said that. Well, I'm going to imagine. Praise God. So now you are seeing my wife, and some of the things you are seeing as her strength were actually weakness. If my wife abused me, because the people she can't beat, she abused. Yes. They used to go and report her every time for beating them. They are taller than her. She will beat them. And then the ones she can't beat, she will abuse. I fell into the category of that. So now, when people are saying, love work, whatever, it used to be a weakness. But grace was sufficient. That naturally, the things that she will have done naturally, she's not doing it naturally any longer. She's doing it supernaturally. So when it comes to love, sometimes my wife, I'm just like, if I want to correct, once I'm not happy with people, if I want to correct them and I want them to be very good, I send her. By the time she finished correcting them, and I said, "Sorry, that's it, let me start now." Because the love being that she is, you will not understand until you are the one living with her. So I have seen both sides. I have seen the abuse side, and I have seen the non-reserved person. The person that is my witness is Engineer Bame. Anytime Engineer Bame see my wife and what she's doing now, they are shocked. If you see only the people when they who is sitting here used to be a Jinkuzi Jacuzzi. But look at it. He said, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness." That thing you say is a weakness. It's because you have not surrendered it to the Lord. If you have not surrendered it to the Lord, when you surrender it to the Lord, He is going to pick that thing that is a weakness and then begin to supply strength in that regard. And that thing that is powering it is all grace. It's a feedback that you have grown. Because there are some things that naturally you can't do. They are weaknesses. But when grace step in, we call it the enabling grace. It's the grace to do what you will naturally not do. It's a feedback that you have grown. Take for instance for myself, I've said it severally. I have masturbated before. I wanted to stop, I could not. I have told God, if I do it again, kill me. God said, "Who will be preaching today?" He did not allow me that. Then that thing that was a weakness, I surrendered it not to my Savior, but to my Lord. And then my Lord again came. Something that I have struggled to stop, I could not. The saving grace, the enabling grace stepped in.
When my Lord took over, something I could not naturally do, I began to do supernaturally. What's one of the feedback that you will know that you have grown and you are growing is that the things that are natural to you are no longer operating. You are no longer operating them naturally. You have switched to supernatural. So, looking at yourself, are there still things that you are still struggling and saying, I'm praying. Hey! You have not given it to your Lord. It's one of the feedback that you are growing. Because do you know something? Before the salvation, before the temptation comes, your Lord will make a way out. Yes. The Bible says in Corinthians 10, verse 8. 2 Corinthians 10, 8. 10, no, 10, 13. Very quickly, my time is past spent. 2 Corinthians 10, 10, 13. No, I think it's 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians 10, 13. Please, can we read this together? It said, and God is, he will not let you be beyond what you cannot, where you can. Can you read that next one? So that you can only do this when is your Lord. Take for instance, your senses are telling you to do this, to slap the guy. Because you're to be no man, to slap him. And then your Lord is saying, hug him and say you are sorry. Contrasting thing. Your Lord is telling you, hug him. Tell him you are sorry. You as the Lord, you are saying to yourself, like, so naturally the things you used to do when you are not saved, that you are not doing conveniently now, that is when people will know that, this guy is saved. Hammer saved. Allah, this is one of the armor. People don't know my wife then. This is one of the armor. That people can also testify that he's safe. That he's safe. Oh, my Jerry, by you think that will be too bad when he share everywhere. Then all of his sudden, the same you. And you know, you are not forming it. Is that grace has stepped in. The enabling grace has stepped in. It's a sign of growth. Please, guys, what are you still holding on to? Let your Lord step in, because while you are being tempted, the Bible says he will step in and he will provide a way out. He cannot provide a way out if he's not Lord. Because the Bible says, until your obedience is complete, then will you be able to judge obedience. What it implies is that if he's not Lord over little things, in major things, he will also be Lord. It's a sign of spiritual growth. That the things that you used to struggle with before, the things that people used to say, that used to be one of your legacy that you wanted to drop when you take out of this world, that naturally you don't keep malice, you are malice. If any person offend you, they know they are gone. Then all of a sudden, you are the one seeking terms of reconciliation. You say, no, I'm not going to go. And then you start them drink, they did not drink. Because they don't believe that you, until you drank it yourself, you drank everything, they are. And then after 30 minutes, you are still in touch. They are like, they are not like, they are shocked. There have been several things that will show the enabling grace in your life. But it only starts by you growing in grace. It's one of the indices of spiritual growth. That the things you struggle with in the flesh, something is stepping and changing. I don't know if there's anyone struggling one thing or another. I just want to give you one or two and pray. Because many of you need to grow. You see, this thing I'm saying is to all of us, there are areas where it's not Lord yet. Where it's not Lord yet. That you need to permit him to be Lord. That you need to permit him to be Lord.
Is that how you are praying for yourself? Pray. I don't like the way you are praying. That anger, that malice, that unforgiveness. Let your Lord step in. Let your Lord step in. That masturbation, hand it over to Him. His grace is sufficient. That's what He's saying. He died for that one too. He died for it. If only you permit growth. If only you permit growth. Your Lord is here again to supply grace that is sufficient. Sufficient grace. That grace is an enabling grace. Grace to do what naturally you wouldn't be able to do. He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in your weakness. Therefore, I will boast all more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. Another thing that grace does is that power. It's a feedback that you are growing. It's a feedback that you are growing. What has grace taken away from you? What weakness has grace taken away? Pray, 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 pray. Arabanako sakimas.
Thank you for listening to this message. We hope you've been blessed. This is The Building Church. Our core values are spiritual growth, service and impact, personal development, honor, excellence, love work, faith, family life, and societal transformation. And our pillars are the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, prayer, and reaching out. Join us for our Sunday Glorious service at 8 a.m. and our midweek service every Wednesday by 5:30 p.m. at The Building Church behind Becadems, Tanke Okeodo, Ilorin, Kwara State. Please follow us on all social media platforms at The Building Church. Stay blessed.